We got Sherry.
Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, I'm here.
Okay.
Bringing voices to power.
Hey, Sherry.
Hey, guys.
Okay.
Uh-oh. Oh, we're going to have a popping show today. How? I invited the people back. Absolutely. Well, y'all know that we're live on the radio right now, so folks that are listening, I want you to understand we're excited because today's show and tomorrow's show is it's going to be eye-opening for a lot of folks, and so those that are listening to us understand that we're just excited to have the opportunity to speak these stories. And we hope that a lot of people call in and give us their opinions and tell us what they think. Because we're going to tell you what we think.
I'm so tired of being looked at as being foreign because I'm talking this kind of language that people don't understand. Lord.
Right.
Is that Marcia singing? Remember when we used to be cool? They kind of sound like them.
Hello? Yeah.
Someone
give us just a few more minutes and the show will get started.
I'm just making sure you guys can hear me. I just woke up. Excuse me. This is Kenya.
Yeah. Oh, hey, Kenya.
Hi.
Oh, we are.
Hi.
Hey, Kenya.
Hi, Sherry. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Kenya, good. Thank you.
Oh, yeah, it's cheaper to keep her, but in this episode of the Child Support Hustle Show with Arthur Kenya, Rock Mom, we talked with Jasmine Mack, Tawanda Gray, Sherry Saunders, and callers about medically kidnapped children and corrupt CPS and DHR who are eager to impose financial pressure on parents who are already suffering from the forced loss of a child. The pressure comes in the form of legal fees, transportation, and child support. Right now, I'm going to turn it over to Kenya Rockman. Kenya, shout out to you. How did your event go today?
Oh, thank you. And it went amazing. We were able to feed a number of our homeless brothers and sisters, gave out tons of clothes. We had people donate from a lot of places and gave out blankets, and it was an amazing event. It was our first time. I like to call those, well, we call those, you know, the pilots. So hopefully we'll be able to do that maybe once a month, and it'll be, you know, better every time. So it was great. And I want to shout out my son, Illit, because it was his idea to get this together, and all of his friends that came out. So it was great. It was amazing.
Yeah, I already met him. He's a one cool guy. I listen to his music too. Yeah, today we're talking about, and this is a Child Support Hustle show. We're gonna talk about medical kidnap, and we're talking about child support, because a lot of times we're just gonna talk briefly about the child support component. But a lot of times when CPS and DHR come into a situation, no matter what it is, as soon as they get their number, the second thing they're looking for is somebody to hit with a child support case because of Title D for funding. Can you just tell us, all our listeners who are following this show, remembering Jasmine Mack, and I want to give a shout out to Tawanda as well for, you know, help steering all of this stuff and pulling it all together. And I can't wait to see what Sherry and they got for tomorrow when they wrap all of this up. But tell us a little bit about the Child Support Hustle show and how these cases get filed, especially when they come in and do some type of intervention or whatever.
Marcus, can you ask that again? Because you're breaking up a little bit on me.
Yes, I was just going to tell you to tell our listeners a little bit about how child support comes in when there's a case number when DHR or CPS gets involved.
Okay, if I'm hearing you correctly, you're asking about how child support plays into the DHR?
Yeah, I'm asking about how whenever they get a case, like in this situation with medical kidnap, whenever CPS is called in, and I just want you to talk about how they need these cases for Title 4D funding.
Oh, the Title 4D funding.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. It's breaking up, so I apologize. As far as the 4D funding, the child support system is a welfare recovery program. So it's it was put in place to collect all the money that has been distributed for welfare recipients. So
see,
for every dollar.
That's what I wanted to ask you about this case. To my understanding, and Jazz can correct me, Jazz, tell us about what happened when they come in and they was going to charge you for child support or whatever. What I'm saying is when they come in and they try to get custody of a child.
Yes, what they call dependency, basically making your child a ward of the state, they serve the parent child support papers for you to go to court. It's not the absent parent. In my case, her father walked away at 3 months old, not paying one day, you know, child support. Even though they did locate him and got him tested in that process, I would still serve the child support papers. And like I say, this was when she was put into state custody.
Oh, so was DHR involved in the whole process? So they were on the child support order?
Yes, they were.
Okay. And so for every, and damn, I'm going to look up the return on investment, but it's the average between $1 and $5.
And because they had served the papers, shy of her being home within 2 weeks, they canceled out the case, but I was still served with, you know, with papers.
Okay, let's bring Tawanda in. Tawanda, tell us a little bit about DHR and CPS's tactics when they first approach a parent. Or Jazz can tell us how they first approached her. I mean, what was your impression? Did they come off like they were as they always do, like they're really trying to help the parent? Or do they come off like some people tell me,
right,
just straight
they
at
do.
You, like
they
disrespect you, you're nothing? I've had some people tell me that as well.
At first, they play your friend. They play having your best interest. We're going to work with you to get your children home kind of, you know, situation. They try to build up a relationship with you where you feel comfortable with telling them your weaknesses. You feel comfortable with letting them know your struggles. And they, in actuality, they use those weaknesses and your struggles a part of your case. So now you have what you felt as though you were, you know, talking to them to get help, further help, is being now used against you in court.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's a toss-up. I think it's a really toss-up.
So you have to be very careful on what you say, the word. You know, you have to pick and choose what you say. These people are not your friends. They don't have any, you know, ties to you. They don't care what happens after the point of them removing your kid. They get their bonus and they go and testify in court, and then that's it. They are no longer a part of your case. Then they issue in a new worker at this point. So these people are not your friends. Mm-hmm. My worker for say, when she did come to my home after they had removed Nariah, I'm cooking for my two boys, and she sits at my kitchen table and ate a full meal. And then she goes to court and lies and tells the judge that I had no food in my home. Really?
Are you kidding
really?
Me?
Yes, ma'am.
Wow.
With a straight face. After you sit to my kitchen table. Are you kidding me? As my two sons, as my witnesses. So these are the things that they will turn around to use against you. And it's their word against yours, and their word trumps yours, period.
Has it come up in any of these cases, like what you're describing happened with the sitting, having a meal, and then lying in court? Are there opportunities where parents can actually record in this age of technology, record the visitations when they come over and sit and observe the family or meet with the family? Can you record?
Well, and that's the good part about bringing awareness, because if you don't know, you don't you don't know. And in my case, I've never been through a situation like this. I never interacted with, you know, social workers or anything, if you know what I mean, where I knew to film or knew to record or knew to keep my records on everything that was said. And that's why awareness is so important.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. And in that case, you're really like you're not, because you said they come in smiling and as they're acting as if they're your friend, so you really wouldn't even think, I need to record this because, hey, my friend is going to go, or someone's trying to help me is going to go to court and lie and say she didn't eat at the table with me, my children and I. Like, who would think that somebody would be that?
When you being offered bonuses to take a child, that doesn't, you know, they don't care about you or your kids. They don't care.
When you talk about bonuses, Alabama, they received from 2013 to 2017, $16,750,000 in incentive money from the Child Support Enforcement Agency. So there's big bucks out here.
Right. And my worker, she came out of her mouth and told me straight up that this money was going to pay for her son's college books. This is the same lady that went behind me to my landlord and told my landlord not to accept my rent, so I would be faced with an eviction. So they can go to court and say, Mom does not have stable housing. Well, Mom doesn't have stable housing because now my landlord is now working with my social, my worker against me.
It seems that as low as I think I've heard that these people have gone, I hear another story that proves that they can go even lower. And
oh,
it's
yes,
just
ma'am.
So disgusting. And it's all for money. It's not for the best interest of the children or the parents.
I was
and
even told not
really
to sad. Even use that word. As I was using this word in the hospital, the best interest of Naraya, and I was told to not use that quote.
By who told you that, and what was the reason for telling you that, especially when you have freedom of speech?
Exactly, and it was a care conference that I've had with 12-plus doctors in one room, and we're talking about my daughter's health and her condition and how it's important for her to have been transferred out of this hospital to her home hospital in Florida, and I said the word in her best interest. And they told me to not use that quote. I say, well, they used
like
it in court.
It's like they just didn't want to hear that. They didn't want to hear that.
Right.
Disgusting.
Because it wasn't, because what they were doing was not with her best interest. Right. Because they knew that what they were doing was not in her best interest.
Exactly.
And it was more so of them recording me, because mind you, all over this hospital is being video and audio recorded. So by me saying these words, they're being recorded.
Oh, you're taking the quote that they use to manipulate people and putting a bad spin on it, so they don't want you to use that, knowing that they are not operating in the best interest of your daughter.
Then,
they're sneaky bastards, I'll tell you what.
And the fact that it's being recorded is they didn't want that said on there, you know, because it's being recorded. If she's repeating in the best interest of Naraya, then, you know, that would be a matter of record. And they didn't want that on the record, evidently.
Right.
So that's probably why they, I bet that they didn't tell you that around that camera not to use it. Did they?
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Yeah. I didn't think so. We got
These
Sherry on the line.
These people are horrible.
Sherry, you on the line?
Yes, I'm on the line. I'm sorry, I had my phone muted, but yes, I'm on the line.
Okay, you fine. Tell us the type of security, and how was the workers acting when you went to Atlanta? How did they come off to you, the workers and the security?
Okay, when you step into this hospital as a visitor, you do have to go to the desk there where the security is and present your ID to get a visitor's badge. When me and Terry LaPointe and Brenda Hansen arrived at that hospital and told them which patient we were visiting, they took an extra amount of time to go over our driver's license, giving them enough time to run a warrant check because they took our IDs with them into a room and then brought them back. I said to Brenda Hampton, I believe, and to Terry Point at that point when it happened, I said, I think they're fixing to run a warrant check if we have any warrants, because there was no reason to have left the desk with our identification. So when we eventually were given our license, driver's license back, we were escorted to her floor. The security guard made a comment that he didn't know that there was any visitors that were going to see Jasmine, and that we apparently were the first visitors to see Jasmine in Naraya the way that we were being spoken to. When we got to the floor, we had to be escorted and bugged in. And a nurse met us at the door and followed us to the room, speaking to us the whole time. And the nurse even mentioned that she wanted to know, she looked at Brenda, because Brenda Hampton was with us, and Brenda Hampton is African-American, and me and Terry are white. And she looked at Brenda and asked Brenda, was she family with Jasmine? And Brenda honestly said, no, I am her friend, I believe is what Brenda said. But that was just us to get us into the room. Now, Jasmine can tell you, once we got into the room, that there was nurses, male and female nurses, that felt like they had to come and listen to every word that we said, and that took place the entire time.
Pretending as though they were working on Nariah to have a baby in the room.
They would come into the room and play with a computer. They would pick up something, walk around. It didn't matter what they attempted to do. The whole point that they was there was to watch what we were saying, to listen to the words coming out of our mouth. So that's what was going on. And that was the security. I mean, I'm pretty sure they ran us for warrants, honestly, because there was no reason to take our identification outside.
And I'm
going to
mention
the
this as well. From June to December, the only time DFACS workers were at the hospital is when we had the care conferences. She is in state custody. At this point, even if she was my child in state custody, I didn't have an obligation to be there. They were supposed to be there, being that she was in their custody. I did not see a worker until it was time for care conferences, where they were trying to get me to agree on signing this and signing that and agreeing to this and agreeing to that.
So, I just want to add, first of all, we didn't plan on doing this show today. It was an extra bonus. One thing to thank you for donating her show and her time so we can continue to cover Nariah's message.
Yeah, that's right. Tell us, give us a preview about tomorrow's show. Do you have anybody that commitments coming on tomorrow's show? Sherry, you and Tawanda, what y'all got planned for tomorrow?
Well, I believe we've got Jasmine coming back tomorrow, correct?
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am. I will be here till the wheels fall off.
I know that's right.
We have a couple of things. I'm not going to go into any details because Jasmine has been harassing me all day. I'm not going to go into any details.
She has a special guest that she don't want to. She's trying to surprise me, and she don't know I don't like surprises. Tell me, someone.
Hey, Kenya, give our listeners some information how they can contact the Child Support Hustle and how they can network with everything you're doing and what we're doing on the radio show.
Yes, Kenya?
Is Kenya there?
We may have lost her. Oh, yeah, I'm here. I'm sorry I had the mute button on.
Can I
ask Jasmine a question real quick as far as when you said that DHS was supposed to be there because they were had custody of Nariah? I wanted to ask, were you ever offered an attorney with them asking you to sign all these papers and all of everything that was going on? And I know in child support cases they say that the parent is represented by the
state. I was told that I could not bring an attorney in, that it had to just only be me. At this point, I had reached out to an attorney, and one did agree to come to the care conference, and they would not allow it.
Did they give you a reason why?
Basically, they just told me that... Right, and basically they just told me that it was only their attorney there and their social workers, that their legal department was not located into the hospital. that it was in another location, and because of that reason, they would not allow me to bring in an attorney.
Well, that sounds like your due process rights were being violated, been violated as well as Mariah's.
Exactly. They violated them both. They violated them both.
Today.
Yes.
I might have missed a piece here. That's what I'm just listening to everybody that they had on their side. And I'm thinking, who was there to represent you on your side? And you're saying nobody. And you were told that nobody could come in.
And I'm happy that I have records of every care conference and every name that was listed that was there. You know, I do have that information, and I'm glad, you know, that I
do. Get copies, put them in the hands. Yeah, get copies, put them in the hands of some people that you can trust.
And they escorted me in this room, and they had a box of Kleenex sitting in front of the chair that I was sitting in front of, and it was like they were waiting to play on my, you know, emotion.
They are experts. They go through classes on how to do exactly that. But look at what she was up against. She was up against a very wealthy hospital, Emory. She was up against them and up against the state of Georgia.
Mm.
Now, that's a lot to
with
be
no
up against.
Representation. I know,
without
with no
any
representation.
That's pretty bad with representation. You would need a dream team to go up against a state and then a billion-dollar hospital.
You would have thought that even my public speaker would have been there. No.
That's like taking a butter knife to a gunfight.
Mm-hmm.
And they did that on purpose, and then to have the Kleenex there, I'm definitely sure there were cameras on their part so they can record hopefully a breakdown so they could take that to court to have something else stacked against you, like they talked to your landlord and things like that. But they're building their case and not even letting you defend yourself, not even allowing you the opportunity. So that in itself is illegal, or if it's not, and I'm no lawyer, but it sounds very illegal and violation of your rights.
Tawanda, could you just refresh everybody in this piece right here? We are on the sixth day of doing this. We're going to go a full week, like Jan said, until the wheels fall off. But remind everybody the reason why they would violate all these rights of Jasmine and Mariah. Why would they do something like it? Tell us how about her rare chromosome condition.
Well, first of all, we've been talking about it all week. I think we decided to do a 5-series docuseries. We added 2 more series, which is great. I'm excited. I hope people call in. We had maybe like 9 people calling yesterday that we could not answer. So hopefully I've invited those people back. Hopefully they call in, but Mariah Mack, she had a rare genetic disorder, trisomy 9. And basically, Atlanta's Children's Hospital and the CDC used her as a guinea pig. That's probably the best way that I can honestly say it. They kidnapped this little girl, kicked her mom out the hospital many a time, and in the attempt of after they kicked her mom out, they did illegal surgeries without consent. One of them, they wanted to remove her cancers and adenoids. And Sherry probably can tell you the reason better than I can why they wanted to remove them. So Sherry, can you tell them why they...
Let me cut in here and admit an on-air mistake. I didn't put the show on 2 hours. The show is actually 45 minutes, so we got about 15 more minutes, but I am so sorry.
Wow.
I'm running around trying to do a whole bunch of things, but I will get everything right tomorrow. We still have 15 minutes left in the show. You can finish this up, but I want to make sure we give out all the important information on how people can connect with us.
I can probably explain a little bit. Where she was one out of 150 children worldwide born with this chromosome disorder. where her ninth chromosome was duplicated 3 times. Very rare, where the doctor basically told me that I had to go and learn about it on the internet, that it wasn't a lot of research done on it. As Down syndrome is trisomy 21, Down syndrome is very popular, you know, and it has been renamed because of that and because of the research. Trisomy 9 has not. Full trisomy, those kids normally die during miscarriage in the womb. Nariah was mosaic, where 20% of her cells were affected. And those kids can live a little longer than the womb. And the hospital, the Children's Hospital, the CDC, they recognize this. They recognize how rare it was, and they wanted to further research and study her condition. With us moving from Florida to Georgia, being new, not much family there, they seen this opportunity. They thought that I was young, black, single, poor mom that did not have the want for my child, which was a special needs child, and they did not realize that I was hands-on with my daughter her whole entire life. So they jumped the gun, and they started and begun to do research.
Mm-hmm. I just want to add, because we talked about, Senior talked about the due process a little bit earlier. I mean, that was, I mean, if we go further, the whole, your due process was not right for the whole incident. We're talking about someone who had allegations brought against them, has never, ever been in a court date to answers to the charges that they claim. She's never been had a court date officially. Every time that she went for a year and a half, 19 reset court dates, she's never been able to defend herself against the allegations that was made. So essentially,
only
they
to see my daughter ask.
They postponed her due process, 19, I want to make sure that we were clear, 19 court resets a year and a half later. And this is what we deal with in America. This is what we deal with. They essentially waited for this little girl to die simply because they know that what they did was wrong. They know that they did illegal surgery. They know that they took this little girl's body apart, and they know that they would, if we got a second opinion, if we got Nariah Mack out of Emory Children's Hospital, then another doctor would find out the mistake. So what they do, and it's not only doctors, it happens in for police officers also. It's cheaper, and it's more convenient, and it's less paperwork to kill these people versus injuring them and getting a settlement.
Right. And it's awful, you know, just it's equally terrible that they made sure that they denied her, I'm sorry, not her, Jasmine, you're right, but they made sure they served you child support papers in the meantime. With everything
right.
else that was going on, they made sure you were served
right.
child support
and
papers
only until
to take money
my child
from you.
Passed away is when they closed the case due to no findings in her death. Which is no valid reason to close a case.
I'm telling you, they have to be stopped.
So I know we always, you know, I don't know if we have Sharon, but we usually give out tips. I mean, hopefully we can catch somebody in the beginning phases that tomorrow CPS come to your door. Don't answer the door. You don't have to talk to them. Do not let CPS in your house. Do not sign anything. Do not sign a cure plan. Do not sign anything. That first signature on a safety plan is basically you signing away rights to your children.
Yes, I'm on the phone. I apologize. I'm at work here at your restaurant, but I am on the phone. Give me just one second. I can run through those important things, I guess, that people need to keep in mind when they're involved in these cases. Give me just one second. Oh. Is that anything?
Okay, while we...
All right, I had to get some orders out. Okay.
Are you ready, Sarah?
Yeah, I'm here. Do I have maybe about a minute to run through these things that we need to worry about?
Yes, we got 10 more minutes. Go ahead. We got 10 more minutes.
All right, 10 more minutes. Okay. Folks, the first thing that you need to understand is that DHR, CPS, will never tell you the truth. When they present you any kind of paperwork and ask for you to sign a safety plan, it doesn't matter what they call it. You cannot sign any documents. The reason why is if when you make the first signature on any documentation with CPS DHR, you are agreeing to become a part of their service plan, and that means from this point forward, as you fight to get your kids back, you have already agreed to proceed with any and all classes, anything that DHR wants to put you through, you just agreed to by that first signature. It is your right not to sign, and I am advising you as an advocate that works in these situations that it is never, not one time, ever in your best interest to sign the document. So no matter if you're being bullied, no matter what, understand you're being lied to. And they will not tell you your rights. They will tell you you have to sign that. And I and Tawanda and the advocates that have been speaking to you this week, we are trying to make you understand that by you not knowing your rights, you're going to walk yourself right off the cliff. So the first thing is never sign anything. The second, if DHR, CPS shows up at your house on your property and asks to see your kids or speak to your kids, do not allow your children outside and do not allow DHR, CPS inside your home. If police is there, and they will be, let the police kick in your door. Do not open the door. You can open a window and allow or move the drapes aside and allow your children to be seen so that the police can see that they are healthy and not dead in the floor. And that's it. Mm-hmm. That's all you have to do. The children do not have to answer any questions. Do not send your children outside. Next, when your case gets started, if DHR comes and takes your children, and you stand before a judge and say that you don't have an attorney, they're going to appoint you a liar. They're not going to appoint you an attorney. They're going to appoint you a liar. But do not accept any court-appointed attorney in family services, because any court-appointed attorney works for the court. They do not work for you. That means they work for DHR, and how they get their money is by making these cases and in a termination of parents' rights. It's called a TPR for short. That is termination of parental rights. This is how these attorneys make their money. They do not make their money by returning children to parents. So your best bet, folks, is to educate. You have to educate yourself on the lies that are going to be told to you, because if you do not, you become a slave and tool to the government. And that is simply put, don't sign anything, don't send your children outside, and never, ever, ever accept a court-appointed attorney. Either represent yourself, which there is lots of information out there on how to do these things, represent yourself, or have a paid-for attorney, which, once again, works for the court and DHR, does not work for you, and you have to take your chances that the attorney that you've paid will file the correct filings and motions that you need to get on board to get your children back. You have to stay on top of them. Just because you've bought an attorney does not mean that that attorney will work for you. Unfortunately, that is the truth of it, and that is the way it is.
Correct.
Okay, let's get in here. First of all, Kenya, tell us how people can contact the Child Support Hustle on issues of, just like Sherry was saying, when you come in contact with DHR and CPS, and just give some information, and then we're going to hear from Tawanda and Jasmine how people can contact them. We have 6 minutes.
Oh, hi. Yeah, you can contact us. We are on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.
You can contact us at our website, thechildsupporthustle.com. We are right now in the middle of preparing a bill that we want to send out across the nation to end or reabolish the use of debtor prisons when parents cannot afford to pay the alleged child support debt. And hopefully we can get you behind us. We're looking for legislators to join the fight to present our bill. And if you want to send our letter that we have, just send us an inbox for the link to the letter. And you can also email us at contact@thechildsupporthustle.com. Thanks for listening.
Jasmine, you can give out your email first.
Okay, my email, jasminemag5@hotmail.com, Facebook, Jasmine Mag, and also A Voice for the Voiceless Facebook.
Mm-hmm. And my name is Twanda Grays on Facebook. I have to shout out Pure Urban Excellence LLC. They have sponsored this movement. Remembering
thank
that
you.
I am at, I'm their global public relations officer in Morocco. A number. Email where I can be reached is the letter T, my last name, Graves, National Press, @gmail.com.
Sherry, we still got you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Sherry has a show on Sundays.
Yeah, we have a show. We have a show tomorrow. We're gonna continue. And then I think we're gonna kind of play it by ear just to see how it goes for the next week. We've agreed if the demand was there, we would continue. If the demand
wasn't there, we're gonna continue.
That need to be talked about.
We just started something. The conversation is going to be open.
Even with the schools, you know, the schools report, it's everywhere. It's everywhere.
Yeah, shouts out to...
And people need to be aware.
Right. Shouts out to Sherry and Brenda for going all the way there and seeing for the
show.
Yes.
Ever thankful for that. They came and they pulled their trunks up and pulled out ticket signs. I was like, all right then.
I think, don't you remember, Jasmine, when we got there, I think we said to you that we was ready to go to jail, that Terry would be the one to get me and Brenda out.
Yeah,
I was ready to go to jail.
She was like, where do we need to go stand? And I was like, it's only four of us. They was like, I don't care if it was one.
Yeah,
but they were ready, and I appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, those are my battle buddies. Forever,
and that's why
they pulled out ready.
We did this show for simply to for Naraya. This is about remembering her all week. But we also did the show because we saw the demand for so many CPS spaces. We read the stories. We get the emails and we hear, but we actually wanted to give you guys a platform to speak for yourself. I can read your story. I could read people's story, but, I would want you guys to stand up and read your own stories, whether you call it anonymous. I've provided everybody with a number on my end, so if they do not want to say their name, then we can address them by a number. They can call in I'm number 36. It's fine. I know
right.
who they are.
And we all know how DHR and CPS will retaliate on people. You know, like I said,
they will try. But when you take them gloves off and you let them know that them gloves are off, they back away from you.
Exactly.
They back away.
That's how I handle it.
You have to stand up.
I handle it just like that, but I have seen them break a whole lot of good people that really wanted to fight for this cause.
Right.
The DHR was using some type of leverage and really putting pressure on them, and they were not in a position to fight back.
And that's how you start off. That's how I started off. I started out in intimidated, trying to do what they wanted me to do, and like walking on eggshells.
Got about 30 seconds.
But once I found out that they wasn't giving me back my child, them gloves came off. And that's what the importance of clarity.
Gloves off with you.
Mm-hmm. Right, and that's the importance of bringing awareness, because these parents need to know not to go in walking on eggshells, but go in with them gloves off and ready. Mm-hmm. Fight for your kids. Mm-hmm. Fight for your children. That's you all they have, period. These people don't love them. These people don't care nothing about them or you. Don't go in softly. Go in and fight.
You better go hard or go home.
I wish I would have known this when they first did this, and I would have not been walking on eggshells, but in the rain, ready to box and fight, and it may
great
have
word.
Went another way. But I didn't, because I wasn't aware. I wasn't aware.
And thank you for making other people aware. Now they'll be prepared for the fight.
Mm-hmm. Y'all pray for me, and, you know, keep me, you know, because this
part
is draining, but I'm going to keep pushing. I'm going to keep pushing.
Yeah, we're on the right to this music. That's looking to my eyes, my phone.
It
y'all
sounds
go out
good.
And get it. That's that old school.
It sounds good.
Yeah. And, you know, we've been on this mission for so long, and we don't plan to stop until we get justice for Nas. And so that's why it's great if everybody else come and stand with us. I mean, as long as you're talking about it, we don't care whether you talk about it on Facebook or you do other shows. You can do as many other shows as you want. But I just recommend that if you do another show, just make sure that they're not just about the sport. Make sure that they have your kids' best interests at heart. Make sure that they're going to help you after you stop feeling.
It's a long road, but together we can. We can.
All right, y'all.
We gotta stop it.
Well, y'all check us out.
Marcus.
You welcome. Y'all check us out next. In the next coming weeks, we're going to be having some shows and Child Support Hustle. We got a lot going on. Like Tim said, we got the working on a deal to start trying to change some of these unjust and unfair laws. But y'all check out ChildSupportHustle.com. You know, make sure y'all come through tomorrow and check out Shares, United Voices, the new and the new Met, Part 7. They're going to have a blowout show tomorrow.
I cannot wait.